When the disciples inquire about the greatest person in the kingdom of heaven, Jesus answers by telling them who gets into heaven. Then he says, the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is one who is humble like a child. It probably wasn't the answer they were expecting. Humility before God won't bring attention from the world and praise from men, but it's the virtue of those going to heaven. What does it mean to be humble like a child? I know children who think they can handle the same things as adults. And we chuckle when they say stuff like, I can do it, when we know good and well they can't. They'll hurt themselves, maybe others, if the 8-year-old decides he can drive or operate power tools. Fear doesn't stop the determination of confident young ones, even toddlers, who in their persistence attempt the same feats as their older siblings. What makes children objects of humility is their total dependence on the neighbor. Whether they realize it, they need others to live, like the nursing infant whose mother is her only source of food. The baby must be fed and clothed by someone else to live. This kind of humility Jesus calls his people to have. It's a humility living under the cross. It's life bearing your cross, following Jesus in faith, living as a sinner who knows your only way in is through Jesus alone. You are dependent on God for life, like the needy infant clinging to his mother. Recognizing this need, that is a mark of faith. To believe in God for all things, to trust in his undying mercy and know he still provides for our bodies and souls without any goodness or merit in us. The infant doesn't get milk because she deserves it, but due to love from the parent who sees through all the crying and lack of sleep, to love the child anyway and give what she needs. In this gospel lesson, Jesus spends a lot of time teaching and warning about sin, specifically sin towards others. He commands us to receive children in his name, which at least happens in holy baptism. God's word calling and commanding us to love the neighbor from young to old is met by a hostile world viewing children as a nuisance that drains time and money from adults who deserve better. For this problem, abortion is the solution to many darkened, polluted minds. Just kill the child, and your life will once again be yours. But to Jesus, receiving a child in his name extends beyond being a mere work that Christians do. To receive a child is to receive Jesus. To receive the little one in his name is to receive him. So receive the child who cries, whines, and demands. The child who needs the care of others in order to live. Receive them. Love them. And thank God for the little ones who teach us how to love, sacrifice, and repent so often when we don't. Thank God for these little ones who are objects of humility for adult Christians. The adult has reason, strength, and the capability to do things young ones can't. I've already had to tell one of my children, who thinks he's worthy to call the shots, that he can, as soon as he starts paying the mortgage. We look at our kids, and there's many times we want them to grow up. We cherish that gift of reason, being able to think and anticipate that time when they can think for themselves at least enough to avoid diapers and obey simple commands like, hey, get away from the fire pit, it's going to burn you. The physical differences between adult and child are obvious. We see them. But the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is to be like the child, says Jesus, the receiver, the dependent. The reality is adults and babies are no different before God, though the devil would have you believe otherwise, that the more you can do, the more value you bring to the table. But the reality of sin destroys that notion, and God's law puts everyone on the same plane. From baby to adult, the need is the same. That is a Savior who has paid for your sin, who by the Holy Spirit imparts faith into callous hearts incapable of believing without divine aid. And if God has put you in a position where you are dependent on others, this is good for them and you. Don't despise it. Christians are called to serve their neighbor, and learning to receive their love and service can be just as hard as learning how to give it. It is only by the aid of God, brought to us by His Holy Spirit, who always comes in His Word, that we can escape this world and be ushered into the next. Until then, be careful. And heed Jesus' warning about sin. Temptations assault the baptized, and woe to those through whom they come. They are unavoidable, and we are still held accountable. The self-mutilation metaphors employed by Jesus highlight the lengths to which the faithful should go to avoid temptations into grievous sins that could result in exclusion from God's kingdom. Don't chop off your hand, but you might need to get rid of the smartphone. Keep the laptop closed at night, cut the cable, the credit card, and so forth. It's better to do without these convenient things than keep them at the expense of your soul, if such things are a stumbling block. You see, the reason God is so serious about sin and temptation is because He is serious about you, each and every one of you. And He is willing to do what it takes, even giving His life to buy you from death. If you go astray, He follows. He goes after you. He finds you. He puts you on His shoulders and takes you home. The good news of God's salvation in Christ includes Him going to you, grabbing you, and bringing you into His kingdom like the sheep who has wandered from the fold, yet is found by the shepherd. Repent and be healed. Repent, be forgiven. This has no limit, but His life as a humble child before God. Your life as a Christian is to be one of daily repentance, daily turning once again to all those glorious promises God has spoken to you on the day you were baptized into the very name of God Himself. The benefit of having Holy Scripture before you is reading it and seeing the connection between heaven and earth is real. We do not have to guess His attitude towards us. Like in Matthew 16, a lesson we heard a couple Sundays back, the language of binding and loosing shows up here in Matthew 18. Now, on the surface, it might seem to be a little out of step with Jesus' discourse on children. However, forgiving each other has eternal benefits for any family. Children hurt and stumble when their parents fail in their vocations and when a godly marriage is torn by divorce. Marriages become stained as sins pile up over time. With the simple words, "You are forgiven," or "I forgive you," spoken according to God's word, that is tremendous healing in any marriage, any family. What you loose on earth really is loosed in heaven. This means the forgiveness of sins. So loose one another's sins, speaking forgiveness into their ears. Tell them it's okay that Christ died for them and forgives them of their wrongdoing. And if you've wronged your neighbor, there's a much easier way than digging in your heels and refusing conversation. Repent. Forgive. Loosen the sin of your neighbor by speaking what God has already spoken to us, and that is, you are forgiven for Jesus' sake. Totally, completely by His blood. Your sins do not bind you. You have been set free in Christ. And you are free to love your neighbor by forgiving them, helping them, and even sacrificing for them. It is tiring work. The sins pile up as we stumble and we all trip in our daily walk in Christ. And thus we are forced to realize our humility, and this is good. This is good to realize we are dependent on one who does not tire of giving us good gifts. We depend totally on the one who died to redeem us and who now imparts faith in His word, keeps us in His kingdom, and gives everlasting life in His name, the very name spoken upon you in holy baptism, the name into which we receive our children that they may grow in Christ as godly servants, loving others as we have been loved and are loved by our Savior. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, God's peace in Christ, that peace guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now unto that blessed, sure, and certain life everlasting. Amen.